So the high holy days of the Jewish tradition are coming up these last 10 days. So the first 2 days are the celebration of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. Begins at sunset this Wednesday until Friday at sunset. So this is a celebratory time, the New Year. Shana Tova is the traditional greeting of Rosh Hashanah, meaning have a good year. Apples dipped in honey are a traditional food to symbolize the sweet year you hope to have ahead of you. So the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are the beginning of those 10 days, what are called the days of repentance, also called days of awe, a time for reflection, apologies, prayer, and acts of charity. The 10 days conclude with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which will begin at sunset on Friday, September 29th, so almost 2 weeks from now, and concludes at sunset on Saturday. So the preparation for Yom Kippur is much more somber than the celebration of Rosh Hashanah that kicks off the high holy days. To prepare for Yom Kippur, you reflect on the past year, the year behind you, and you ask for forgiveness from those you have wronged. You atone for your transgressions, if possible, and you seek reconciliation. Observant Jews will call friends during this time, asking for forgiveness for anything they might have done to cause hurt this past year. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is a time of fasting, observation of Sabbath practices, and asking forgiveness from God for transgressions against God. So by the close of Yom Kippur, you are ready to face the new year. Rosh Hashanah is a lot more fun than Yom Kippur. But preparation for Yom Kippur is, I think, one of the most significant spiritual practices of any faith tradition. You request forgiveness from anyone you have wronged in the previous year, and you make amends or restitution if requested. In this way, you take responsibility for your actions, and you restore any relationships that have been broken. The theology of the Yom Kippur practice is this: God offers forgiveness for transgressions against God, but only people can offer forgiveness for transgressions against people. Don't forget, amends or restitution may be required. Our actions have consequences, and justice is part of the forgiveness process. 2 years ago, I engaged in this practice of requesting forgiveness at Yom Kippur. I asked forgiveness for anything hurtful I had done in the past year, and I made this request of my husband, my parents, my siblings, and a couple of close friends. Because I'm not Jewish, and they aren't either, I had to explain the tradition. It's kind of a strange thing to suddenly be asked if you aren't familiar with it. So that felt a little awkward, but it was fine. And I was relieved and pleased to hear that no wrongs or hurts were festering between any of us. That may not sound too dramatic, but I definitely felt vulnerable making that request, right? We don't know what hurts we might have unintentionally caused. Felt vulnerable even at making the request of people I know and love, and people I know and love me. It felt good to know that all is well between us. Probably more important than this particular annual practice, I try to address wrongs and hurt feelings when they arrive. I try to pay attention to how I feel about my own actions, and I offer apologies when I feel I've behaved in any way I regret. It feels good to be in right relationship. So you know that saying, love means never having to say you're sorry. That's a crazy pile of nonsense. You know that, right? Love means apologizing. Love means caring enough about your relationships to apologize when you're wrong, when you've been hurtful, even when you didn't mean to be, for being grouchy, for forgetting to do the thing you said you'd try to remember to do, for lots. Love, and love means offering as much forgiveness as you can. Yes. Oh, didn't I say? It's also the practice that if someone asks you for forgiveness, it is your duty to grant it. Yom Kippur isn't just about asking for forgiveness, but offering it. Yom Kippur is about letting go of grudges and hurts, setting aside anger and resentments. Yom Kippur is about entering the new year in peace, with a clean slate. If you are asked for forgiveness and you refuse, the offender may ask you two more times, for a total of three times. And at that point, if you still refuse to forgive, the offender is considered to have atoned for their transgression. Not only that, but now you are the one who has transgressed by not offering forgiveness when asked. Rabbi Ted Reiter tells us, please do not confuse forgiving with condoning or forgetting. A wrong is still a wrong. A slight is still a slight. A sin is still a sin. But holding these things with energy and emotion saps our strength and sidetracks our lives. It is a Buddhist teaching that anger is like a hot coal you hold in your hands, intending to throw at someone else, but burning yourself in the process. Stories of extraordinary forgiveness are not that hard to find. They make the news. For example, when white supremacist Dylann Roof murdered 9 black churchgoers in 2015, murdered them in their church. Friends and relatives of his victims, including others who had been in the room at the time of the shooting and could have been killed themselves, came to speak at his bond hearing, offering forgiveness and prayers for him, prayers for his soul. At his sentencing hearing in January of this year, they spoke again offering forgiveness and prayers. Some offered to visit him in prison if he wanted. Each of us here will know other such stories. What I appreciate so much about the Yom Kippur practice is that it's a communal practice of relationship, and it's grounded in a reciprocity. I ask for forgiveness, and I receive forgiveness. But Dylann Roof never asked for forgiveness. The people helped by Corrie Ten Boom in our reading this morning didn't necessarily ask for forgiveness. We are hurt, many of us, in many ways by people who never ask for our forgiveness and never will. To prepare for Yom Kippur, we are still asked to set aside these grudges and hurts, to set aside our anger, and to offer forgiveness even when it has not been requested. This is, I think, the hardest practice. I know it is for me. Remember the words of Rabbi Reiter. Please do not confuse forgiving with condoning or forgetting. A wrong is still a wrong. A slight is still a slight. A sin is still a sin. But holding these things with energy and emotion saps our strength and sidetracks our lives. He's not just speaking metaphorically. The Mayo Clinic reports that letting go of grudges reduces blood pressure, reduces symptoms of depression, strengthens the immune system, and improves heart health. Our anger literally hurts us. It physically hurts us. Forgiveness is more than just a good idea or a spiritual practice. So I don't mean to suggest in any of this that forgiving is easy. If it were, the world's major religions wouldn't need to teach so much about it. It wouldn't be so much a focus. This is hard, hard spiritual work. Two things have helped me in my own forgiveness practice. One is to ask myself, how am I benefiting from staying angry? That may sound like an odd question, but when we can't let go of something, there's usually a reason that we're hanging on to it. So that's a question for self-reflection. What am I getting from this? And the other strategy is to act as though I have forgiven the person. It does happen that our negative feelings fade when we don't nourish them. That doesn't mean that I pretend to be best friends with someone I no longer trust, but it does mean that I'm polite and civil, not mean and vengeful. So I'm inviting you to consider a forgiveness practice this Yom Kippur. This is why I wanted to talk about it in advance of the holiday rather than in the middle of it. Give you time to think if you want to take part of the forgiveness practice for yourself this year. You have a week to think about whether or not you want to honor this holiday or practice in some form. And then you have another week to actually ask loved ones to forgive you if there's something to forgive. So here's another practice to consider, and this is one I'm following this year. I've done it before. To say the following traditional Jewish prayer each of the 10 nights of the Days of Repentance. You'll hear there's some traditional language as well. I hereby forgive all who have hurt me, all who have done me wrong, deliberately or by accident, whether by word or by deed. May no one be punished on my account. As I forgive and pardon fully those who have done me wrong, may those whom I have harmed forgive and pardon me. Whether I acted deliberately or by accident, whether by word or deed, wipe away my sins, O Lord, with your great mercy. May I not repeat the wrongs I have committed. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. So I know there's language in there we might not all be comfortable with. That's okay. We don't need to believe in a punishing God or an afterlife of hell for the word sin or redeemer to have spiritual meaning. If you were interested in saying such a prayer each night, you could rewrite it so it has meaning for you. The prayer has meaning for me as it stands. Our broken and hurting world needs more forgiveness, more love, needs more relationship, more apologies, more amends, more restitution, more justice, more connection, and more reconciliation. May each of us here find the blessing of forgiving those who have wronged us. May each of us here receive the blessing of being forgiven for our wrongs. Inspired by Yom Kippur, Unitarian Universalist minister Rob Eller Isaacs has written a litany of atonement. The reading of the litany is meant to be an annual and communal ritual, a reminder that forgiveness is something we need to receive and to offer again and again. This is our fifth year together participating in this ritual. So today we will speak the responsive words. Sometimes we sing them. They are projected, and I'll gesture to you when it's time. So I'm going to invite you to rise in body or spirit for this piece of the service. Hopefully the repeating words are simple enough. If you can't see them projected, you can hear them. They are, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. Let's practice. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. for remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For each time that we have struck out in anger without just cause, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For the selfishness which sets us apart and alone, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For losing sight of our unity, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. Amen.